Good morning. So glad to have you joining us for the Word for Life radio ministry. And this is Missions Month, and we are excited about having missionaries in our church for our missions conference this last October. But during the month of January, we're now focusing our attention on what God is doing around the world. But it's not just around the world, it's around the block as well. And in the studio with us are Jonathan and Sarah Albright, who were on staff with us, what, for 10 years?
Yes.
Something like that. Goodness, back when you were just kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now 5 kids later, you are having a ministry that God has just opened up in Salt Lake City. And I think you arrived there about 2 years ago. And what a journey of faith it's been. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it's really incredible when we think about what God did in our lives over the time that we were serving here at Brookside. We were here for about 10 years serving in different capacities. And what I thought God wanted me to do and what I thought Sarah and I were called to do here at the outset of coming here kind of morphed over those years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it started with some responsibility with some of the music ministry. And of course, the longer you're serving at a church and the more integrated your relationships become, the more opportunities present themselves, and your life just gets woven in with the people. And Sarah and I were so blessed by the relationships here. We had people that would circle us up and from time to time confront us, love us, disciple us.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go on and on about the people here. But it was during those years that God was just doing a work in our heart over time, awakening our burden for unreached people. He was exposing ourselves to missionaries and hearing about the work of God all around the world. I mean, this church is, you know it. I mean, constantly people coming in, and the people here are exposed
to
the mission of God around the world. And so, you know, as we were just serving here, the Lord surfaced this opportunity and this need in Salt Lake City. And then you're wrestling with, if Sarah and I aren't supposed to go, somebody needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could just really summarize by saying that God used his word. He used people here. He used the circumstances of how he surfaced this opportunity that I felt like God was really leading us there. And we just didn't realize it until we were about 2-3 months from actually going there.
Now, you went as a team. Tell us about how that team was pulled together. How you even got acquainted with each other?
Right. Well, the men that I served with in Salt Lake City are some of my closest friends and have been close friends from before we were even talking about going out to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And so one of them was a pastor in Tennessee, one of them a pastor in Wichita Falls, Texas. One of them has an itinerant ministry serving as an evangelist around the country. And then, of course, I was here at Brookside.
Right.
And so, you know, when you have friends like this in ministry, you know, you talk from time to time about encouraging each other in the work that God's called you in your respective places.
Right.
But we didn't really have this plan that we were, you know, in 2012, we are going to leave where God had called us and we're going to go plant a church together.
We're going to give up our security and we're going to step out on faith. We're going to go, what in the world are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this in God's kindness, how he unfolded it all. I mean, when God is in something, you don't have to grasp onto things and you don't have to manipulate and you don't you just rest in what God is asking you to do that day.
Okay.
And you rest in his grace and his mercy. And as he was unfolding this, really, it was like one exciting opportunity after another as he was exposing this great need in Salt Lake. And we just got to a point where we're like, man, this is either going to remain just being talk.
Mm-hmm.
So we just started talking about, boy, maybe God would have us to partner together. So that question just stirred in us. Well, maybe we need to pray about this. So, you know, this isn't going to just keep being talk. And we're going to go before the Lord. But, Lord, if you're not calling us there, people need to go there and plant churches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not a matter of we're the only ones that you could call there. But he just confirmed in us as we prayed that this was a step of faith that God was asking us to step on.
And several broadcasts ago, talking to some of our other missionaries, I mentioned that as I was quoting from Acts chapter 13, I went back to the first page of the book of Acts. And actually, the title of the book is The Acts of the Apostles. Mm-hmm. That's the full title of the book. It's not the talk of the apostles. It's not the thoughts of the apostles. It's not the ideas of the apostles. It's the acts of the apostles. And in my mind, that's what God wants us to get to. Okay, let's stop talking. Let's stop just thinking. Let's actually take some action.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do what God is directing us to do, just like the apostles did in the book.
Right.
And so God could write another book if he wanted to, The Acts of His Servants Today. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to be the one to take the action?
Right.
And that's exactly what you did. Now, Sarah, when Jonathan first started sharing this with you about, honey, what do you think about this? Can we tell me what your thoughts were?
Well, I had been observing Jonathan and his burden for this ministry, this type of ministry, and I watched where there were times of just grieving, knowing, trying to figure out what it is that God's calling us to do specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times where we did cry together and try to work through, does this mean that God is causing us to leave a place mm-hmm. that we've ministered for so
mm-hmm.
long?
Mm-hmm.
What does this look like? And we knew we couldn't do it alone, obviously not without God, but also without a team.
Right.
And we desired to be a part of a team that could come along and mm-hmm. encourage and disciple each other. But we didn't know how that was going to work.
Yeah.
And so as I watched him just work through this with me and our relationship, praying together, and there were moments of excitement mm-hmm. about the possibility. There were moments of sorrow when we recognized what it would cost to pick up our family and move there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as we came to that point where we were convinced this is what God has for us, I was surprised at the where. I never considered Salt Lake City as an option, but I was also confident that God was making things clear for
mm-hmm.
Jonathan. And
mm-hmm.
as I
and
saw
God called
his,
you to follow him, right?
Absolutely. I've often thought about that. I know that a lot of times I think my call is not to be a church planter.
Mm-hmm.
It's to serve my church planting husband.
Right.
And
right.
to be a church planter's wife.
Right.
And to be a mother who is influencing my children, discipling them to be
right.
church planters as
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that calling for me has become more clear
right.
now that we've gone.
Now, Salt Lake City, a lot of folks wouldn't necessarily think of that as a mission field. What caused your heart to be directed in that area, Jonathan?
Well, when you're exposed to the even a glimpse of the work that's God doing in our country,
mm-hmm.
it becomes very clear that there are pockets of this country that the gospel light is either non-existent or very dim.
Okay.
And so when God was stirring in our heart to perhaps be involved in a church planting endeavor somewhere in the U.S., one would ask right away, well, where are some great needs? And I'll tell you, Salt Lake City isn't the only city that needs churches planted. I mean, there needs to be more healthy churches planted right here in Milwaukee. I mean, there's a great need throughout this country is really turning away from God as a country.
Right.
And you're finding yourself in this postmodern era, the secularization of our society.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in, I realize that everywhere is the mission field, but there are incredible needs right here where we live. And so Salt Lake City, I mean, the interesting thing about that is that we put a list together, maybe five needy cities, and these are based on like demographical studies about how much, you know, what is the evangelical presence in these cities? What are the dynamics? What kind of gospel needs are in these places?
Right. So it's okay to do studies like that.
Oh, I think they're tremendously helpful.
I did that when I started a church.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anybody else that did, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that obviously the gospel needs to go everywhere.
Right.
But going where the gospel isn't seems to be pretty strategic.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there are some dear brothers that have been laboring for years and years in the valley there,
right.
Salt Lake Valley. And,
right.
And you just look at the heritage and the faithfulness of these men,
mm-hmm.
and you realize, boy, these men are not going to be there forever.
Yes.
And And even if they were there for the next 50 years, there needs to be maybe 100 more of them going to the mm-hmm. city right now. When mm-hmm. you really look at the need.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tremendously needy city. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a, you know, I think probably the common perception of most people when it comes to Salt Lake City is that obviously it's the center of a very influential, a religious group, the Mormon Church.
Sure, yeah.
And so I think my just lay perspective of the city itself was this place is just absolutely just filled with people who are in the Mormon Church, and mm-hmm. there are a lot of them there.
Uh-huh.
But as you really look at the city and the changing nature of that city, it has changed drastically in the last 10 years.
Wow.
It's been amazing, even just doing some study. I didn't live there 10 years ago, but there's something that happened there big in that city 10 years ago when the Olympics came.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of things that changed in the city. There were people that were exposed to this city that no one really thought about. They didn't mm-hmm. really know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, a lot of people traveled, went there, and realized what a beautiful place it is to live. There are
okay.
lots of things. The climate's great. Business
right.
market's great.
Right.
Actually, the Olympics, like, it really stimulated the economy there.
Oh, okay, okay.
And they've seen just, the city has just grown tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, by 50%. I mean, it's like in
wow.
those 10 years.
That is amazing.
And in that change, it just didn't happen. The number of people there. The types of people that move there that really weren't connected to the LDS Church at all.
Okay.
And
now when you say LDS, that's Latter-day
yeah,
Saints,
yeah.
the Mormon Church.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, their headquarters are there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the original members of that church moved there, you know, 150 years ago.
Right.
And so that's kind of like their... That's where Mormons look to. This is their heritage, or their historical, and this is where the church was really founded and started. This is where the original pioneers came out
mm-hmm.
and settled there.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people perceive it as just a, you know, that's just where Mormons live. And so, you know, unless sent there for other reasons,
right.
I'm probably not going to think of going there.
Right.
And when you really look at the city and get to know the people there, and you can read studies on this too, but we're actually like experiencing this. I probably talk to more people in the city who are not connected to Mormonism
hmm.
or have never really had any connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just,
mm-hmm.
or they may have grown up in it and they're no longer a part. So it presents itself with some pretty exciting opportunities for
right.
the gospel.
Our time is out, but we're going to meet again in 2 days. And so I trust that you will be praying about opportunities for the gospel that you personally have, maybe through your church friends and folks with whom you work, or maybe even students with whom you go to school. Everywhere we look, there are needy people. Regardless of what their religious background may be, they have needs and they need hope. And that, of course, is where you and I have the wonderful privilege of sharing with them the hope of the gospel. So, till the next time, may God bless you in a fantastic way.